11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goals. Scoring the goals and goals.
Hello and welcome along to the League Podcast. We're on to the penultimate week in the Football League season. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is Mr. Pete Farries. How are you, Pete?
Good day, Mark. Good day. You're very loud.
I'll bring my fader down a little bit. How's that?
That's so much better, Mark.
Good. Yeah, I'm just so excited.
You are, and do you know what? With good reason, it's an amazing position we find ourselves in the Championship at both ends of the table, isn't it? So, yeah, it's good reason to be excited, to be honest with you.
Yeah, another interesting weekend coming up in the Football League. And we'll start by saying congratulations to Leicester, who are champions. Burnley have been promoted back to the Premier League as well. And in League One, Wolves are champions, back in the Championship. And Brentford are promoted. So we'll start by saying well done to those. And after 44 games of the season, Pete, the table doesn't lie, does it? I know it's an old cliche, but they have been the best sides in those divisions.
Well, Brentford, I mean, the fact that they got over the loss of Uwe Rosler. Rosler went on to do brilliantly, but Brentford made the right appointment and have completely flown, haven't they, even once Rosler's left. Wolves made absolutely the perfect managerial appointment in Kenny Jackett. It was a club that were plummeting, that were in free fall and chaotic. And what man do you bring into a situation that's chaotic? You bring in Kenny Jackett. He calmed everything down. He doesn't manage teams in a boring way, but he's a very kind of calming presence. So a perfect appointment by Jez Moxey, and it's worked absolutely perfectly. Leicester, they finally fulfilled the potential of about 3 years of not going up. And Burnley, well, I hold my hands up. I did Burnley the first game of the season against Bolton. And it was just hours before that they'd agreed a deal to sell Charlie Austin to QPR. And without Charlie Austin, I remember saying on air that day, I think Burnley are going to be in real trouble this season and may well go down. And the job that Sean Dyche has done is, I mean, for the last couple of years, I've talked about Sean Dyche like he's my dad. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant manager. He did a great job at Watford and was, for me, treated very poorly. But the job he's done at Burnley is unsurpassable. It's absolutely magnificent. Really is. So, yeah, congratulations to all those sides and many more that may join them or may, of course, sadly lose their positions in various leagues this season.
Yes, yeah, you're right about Sean Dyche. I mean, a remarkable job. I wouldn't have given Burnley any chance. I don't think anybody would have given Burnley any chance at the beginning of the season.
Amazing stuff.
It is amazing stuff. Right, let's get stuck into this weekend's games then. We're going to look through several games in the Championship. We're also going to get Pete's best bets from League One and League Two. We'll get the naps out and we'll get both teams to score double as well. The first match that Mr. Farries has picked out is on Friday evening. It's Brighton against Yeovil. Important for both teams. Brighton 7th in the Championship, 1 point off the playoffs. Yeovil rock bottom, and anything other than a win would confirm their relegation, although they're unlikely to stay up anyway. But an important game in that respect. 2-5 for Brighton, the draw 7-2, and Yeovil are 7-1. How do you see this going, Pete?
It's a really convoluted series of results, isn't it, that would make Yeovil stay up. They've got to rely on results elsewhere. They've got to win their games, plus the goal difference is pretty badly against them in some ways too. So this whole mix, and already you've got the manager, Gary Johnson, coming out and saying, well, I'm expecting an exodus in the summer, and the club is talking like they're down. Now, last game of the season, they're at home against Middlesbrough, and that might be a game that Gary Johnson may identify as saying, that's the one we want to win, last game of the season, go at that. You know, give the fans, you know, leave the fans at home with something to think about, with something to cheer, with something to hope toward for next season. And I just think he won't be. I mean, their away form recently isn't bad. I mean, they've only lost two games since the beginning of February away from home. It's a very good record for Yeovil. But generally speaking, for me, they won't be looking at this game massively. It'll be the Middlesbrough game that Gary Johnson may say, this is the one we want to throw everything at. It's a final home game this season. It's against a team who are beatable, who've got nothing to play for, and it's a way of sending the fans away, you know, despite a horrible season for them, quote-unquote happy. Brighton, though. You know, Oscar Garcia comes out and says it's amazing that this playoff battle is still not absolutely sorted. And he's absolutely right. I mean, there are still so many teams who theoretically could get into it, all the way down to Blackburn, albeit unlikely, of course. But mathematically, these are teams who can still get into it, with, of course, goal swings in their favour and so on and so forth. So, you look at it and you say, well, why wouldn't Brighton go at this game? They had a disappointing draw against Blackpool that, of course, Barry Ferguson lauded. They had a disappointing draw against Huddersfield, which Mark Robins lauded. And just before that, they hit three and they hit four. But Brighton, for me, are a side who, they've got no choice but to go at this. And certainly in terms of quality, they're a better side than Yeovil. And for me, when you look at the price on Brighton here, you're not surprised. 2-5 seems pretty nice. You look at the headline offer, and you know, as much as it's nice to see Craig McHale Smith back in that Brighton side after a hell of a long time out, and it is a hell of a long time out, I'm still not completely convinced that he's going to be anywhere near 100% here, Craig McHale Smith. After as long out as he's had, I'm still not convinced entirely on him coming in and bagging a goal. And when you look at the last time he scored, you know, being so long ago, there's just no reason to take that McHale Smith headline offer for me at 2-1. You might want to look at Ojoa, of course, 8-11 any time, the Brighton striker. He's had a great year. But the way that I kind of looked at this was I felt, well, look at Yeovil. As bad as, in terms of wins, because they've had quite a few draws away from home, but as bad as their form in terms of wins away from home is, they've still scored in most of the away games this season. You're only looking at 5 games away from home this season which they haven't scored. Now, considering how far they travel, that is a pretty impressive goal-scoring record. On top of which, yes, when Brighton win at home, they don't tend to concede. So instead of the Brighton and both teams to score, which would play into the hands of what I've just said, Yeovil score, but if I expect Yeovil to score, but know that Brighton can themselves score and I don't have to have Yeovil to score as well, if that makes sense, which I'm not 100% sure it does, but the point I'm trying to make is that Brighton and over 2.5 match goals was where I landed here at 17-20. It gives them hitting several, but you're not relying on Yeovil getting one of them, albeit they could help you out. So I just felt that Brighton and over 2.5 goals at 17-10 was very good.
Okay, Brighton and over 2.5 goals at 17-10 in that one. Moving on to Saturday's action, and the first game we're going to look at is Sheffield Wednesday against Bolton. Two sides who have nothing to play for really here, Pete, although Bolton have been in pretty good form of late. Sheffield Wednesday 6-5 to win the match, the draw 12-5, and Bolton 19-10. It's one of those tricky games towards the end of the season, Pete, where there's no real emphasis on either side needing to win this. So how would you play this?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, because I know that this is Sheffield United, and Sheffield Wednesday fans might not like me comparing them to Sheffield United in a way. But Nigel Clough came out and made a very interesting point that when he went in there, they were second bottom. Yes, they've had a couple in which Sheffield Wednesday haven't had. But, you know, the effort, the physical and the mental effort to get the mid-table was huge. And it was draining. And I think Sheffield Wednesday have actually had a relatively similar kind of problem of, like, yes, they've had some injuries, I know that Lervins is back and so on, but the thing is, I think they may well have just, you know, at one point Sheffield Wednesday were looking like almost definite relegation fodder, weren't they? And yet they've pulled themselves out of that. And Bolton, you know, they're in good, I know they lost to Leicester, which is, you know, kind of fair enough, but other than that, it's a long old time since they lost. You've got to go back to the 15th of March, and then before that, you've got to go back to the middle of February. So they're playing really good football. Lukas Jukovic and Jermaine Beckford are combining really, really well at the moment, and I think that's a massive, massive thing for them if they can get, certainly, Jukovic on a full-time deal. But certainly at the moment, Jermaine Beckford playing very, very well indeed. And I just felt that the manner of Sheffield Wednesday's loss to Charlton the other day, don't forget, at home, they've conceded 10 goals in 3 games. Watford hit 4, Blackburn hit 3, and Charlton were 2-0 down after 8 minutes against Sheffield Wednesday and did superbly to come back from behind and win the game 3-2. And I felt the manner of those losses, the heavy nature of the goals in those games, was what was really ultimately going to cost Sheffield Wednesday in this match. And like you say, if there was more on this game, there might be a slightly different way in. But at 19-10, for a team who barely lose away from home, who've been doing very well, who've been winning games, and I felt a couple of weeks back, and I said to Lee, I thought they might start to experiment. Dougie Friedman has, but it's worked. And it's not been a kind of experiment with an eye to failure. It's been an experiment that's gone on to be incredibly victorious for them. 19-10 is huge for me on Bolton this weekend. It is absolutely massive. But the other thing worth looking at here is over 2.5 match goals at 4-5. I just gave you the stat there. The last 3 Sheffield Wednesday home games, 5 goals, 6 goals, 5 goals. And I appreciate entirely that Bolton's away games aren't exactly packed to the rafters with goals, but it would still have landed in three of the last six. So that's a 1-2 there, mixed with Sheffield Wednesday's most recent home form, which has been huge amounts of goals. I thought the 4-5 was a great-looking bet, but I tell you what, that Bolton win looks very, very interesting indeed, and therefore, at that kind of price, I can go to one of my favourite markets that happens in betting, and that's the draw no bet. I'm getting value, but I'm getting security. 13-10 Bolton.
Yeah, that's a good price, 13-10 on the draw no bet, because Sheffield Wednesday look as if they've switched off a little bit, don't they? Waiting for the end of the season.
10 goals conceded in three. I don't know that it's switched off. I just think that they've had to put so much into the season under Stuart Gray after a terrible start to under Dave Jones that they, I think, in the end might well have just, you know, maybe just reached the end of a line, which is entirely natural, understandable, and they've achieved 100% of the goals that Stuart Gray had. There's no question about that.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, then on to QPR against Millwall. QPR currently fourth in the Championship, assured of their place in the playoffs. Millwall on a 6-match unbeaten run, and that's lifted them out of the relegation zone and into 20th in the table. QPR are 10-11. The draw is 5-2, and Millwall 5-2. Can Millwall maintain this unbeaten run, or do you think QPR will be warming up for the playoffs with a victory here?
I think they maintain it. You know, there was that name for Harry Redknapp for a little while, wasn't there? The great pragmatist. And I think that's when this pragmatism really kicks in here. Look at the league table. Look at where QPR are in terms of, you know, well, in terms of the league table, really. I mean, they are 5 points away from Derby. Harry Redknapp will know that Derby won't lose the last two games of the season. They're not going up automatically. They're not dropping out of the playoffs. They're 6 points away from Wigan Athletic, knowing that 1 point now, I know that Wigan have got three games, but they will know that, you know, 1 point, one win maybe, I suppose, might see them through. They've got, of course, Millwall at home. They've got, last game of the season, they're away at Barnsley. I just think that for Harry Redknapp, I don't think he'd be massively worried about Wigan overtaking them, although it's, of course, absolutely possible. It doesn't really change massively who they get. And I think he's going to massively look toward that in the playoffs. And I think a lot of clubs that are already in the playoffs this weekend, look at your betting, look at how they are going to approach the game. Are they going to want to just focus on the playoffs to come? Or are they, you know, going to want to try and go out and get some form, get some motivation? And to be honest, for me, most teams will be looking towards the playoffs, even if managers don't admit it. I've spoken to players in the last couple of years when they've been in the playoff situation, and it's all they're thinking about. They're not thinking about the last two, three, four games of the season. If they can't go up, and they're not going to drop out the playoffs. QPR's home form is absolutely brilliant. This is where your problem comes, because their home form is absolutely brilliant. But at 10-11, their motivation a little bit is what worries me, especially when you consider that the last nine Millwall home games, of course, they've been getting loads of draws. But away from home, they have won four of the last six. They beat Derby, they beat Forest, they beat Wigan. And, of course, they got a great result away at the Riverside, 2-1 against Borough last Saturday, wasn't it? So, for me, I think Millwall can get at least a point in this game. And plus a goal at 4-5 is huge. And don't forget, Ian Holloway had a torrid time at QPR. An utterly torrid time at QPR when he was there. For the time he was there. And I think he's going to want to go at it for that reason as well. He's that kind of guy. Millwall plus a goal is 4-5. I'm not saying they win it, but I'd be surprised, despite QPR's good home form, if they lose it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. And just basically on what you were saying there, I mean, QPR are going to have one eye on the playoffs. Millwall need to win this game. So,
oh, yeah, exactly. It's not like you're questioning Millwall's intent in this match.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, on to the next one then, Birmingham against Leeds. Repercussions at the bottom end of the table here, possibly. Birmingham 21st on 43 points. They do have a game in hand of the teams around them, but they are in desperate need of the points after three straight defeats. Their home form has been a real problem as well. They haven't won at St Andrews since January. That's 10 games in total. Leeds, with nothing to play for, they just can't wait for the season to end, and they were pretty poor against Nottingham Forest last time. So how do you see this with Birmingham's terrible home form and Leeds with nothing really to play for? How would you approach this, Pete?
To quote people at Elland Road, Leeds. I think Leeds win it. I'm very, very sure that Leeds win this game. Birmingham's home form has garnered 25 goals conceded in the last 10 home games. Just shipped 4 against Blackburn, 4 against Bournemouth, 2 against Reading, 3 against Burnley, although they drew that game, to be fair, and they also conceded 3 but drew against Derby, both, to be fair to them, very decent results. 2 against Leicester, 2 against Huddersfield, 2 against QPR. they are a team that I think are absolutely worth opposing. I know they've got a game in hand in the relegation battle, but I think if you're a Birmingham fan right now, you are panicked. You are surely panicked right now. Two wins for Birmingham, of course, in terms of league form against Millwall and against Donny, but both of those were away from home, and it's only four wins. Four wins going back all the way to January now for Birmingham. It's an absolute disaster zone for them. They are struggling like you wouldn't believe. The off-the-field problems, you know, it's been said they aren't leaking down to the pitch, but it certainly at the moment looks like they are. And that, for me, is a massive worry. Of course, Leeds had a really good away win against Barnsley in a place which, you know, you and I spoke about, Mark, Leeds don't tend to do very well at. They went to Barnsley at Oakwell and they did very, very well indeed. And I'm aware of course, the problem that Leeds have had. I'm aware that since that Barnsley game, there's been, of course, a slightly less flattering result. But I just think that Leeds, I mean, if you give me anyone in this league at 21-10 against Birmingham with the home form they've got at the moment, I'm going to be interested, aren't I?
I'd agree, yeah.
It's huge. It's absolutely massive. Now, first and foremost, that stat I just gave you, 25 goals conceded in 10 home games, over 2.5 match goals, which is the average over those 10 games, 8-11. That's amazing. That's great. I know the Leeds have been winning games narrowly, but over 2.5, 8-11 is brilliant. But I really just couldn't look beyond Leeds here at 21-10. Of course, both teams are scoring. Leeds win is 9-2, and that's probably quite backable, truth be told, because Birmingham, as much as they concede at home, they don't have score as well. And then, of course, the thing, the stat, the fact. Who is the man who scores every time, pretty much every time Leeds win? I had pretty much there, but pretty much every time Leeds win, who is the man who scores the goals?
It's Super Ross McCormack.
Super Ross McCormack. He's the top goal scorer in the league. He is this week talking about how he's waiting to be spoken to about a new contract. And if anyone thinking about the anytime goal scorer wincast, I wouldn't bother. As much as McCormack is a great shout if Leeds are going to win this game, you're getting 21-10 going to 9-4 for also identifying the goal scorer. There's no need to do that. There's no reason to do that. You might as well just play him at even money as a single if you wanted to, or in a goal scorer racker, and play the Leeds at 21-10. Birmingham, for me, absolutely have to be opposed.
Okay. Ross McCormack as well on 29 goals for the season. If he scores a 30th goal, he will become the first Leeds player to score 30 in a season since the legendary John Charles back in the 1950s. So that will be some achievement and possibly some incentive to back Ross McCormack as an anytime goal scorer this weekend. Right, on to Middlesbrough, your team, Pete. Middlesbrough against Barnsley. Middlesbrough have, they found form, didn't they? But they've lost the last two games now. Barnsley 23rd on 39 points. They need to win both of their games to have a hope of staying up, and they need results to go their way as well. Barnsley in a lot of trouble at the moment. The betting is Middlesbrough 10-11, the draw 13-5, and Barnsley are 12-5. What happens here, Pete?
I'd be again tempted by Barnsley. I really would be. Their away form of late is excellent. Lost away at Bolton and most recently Derby, but in between that beat Reading, beat Yeovil and beat Charlton. I know that Charlton and Yeovil are two teams fighting for their lives. Well, Yeovil are pretty much done now. And I know that Reading's home form was absolutely dreadful before that win over, well, Borough. But I could be tempted, very strongly tempted by Barnsley here. Borough, of course, were beaten by Millwall and played very poorly in that game, beaten by Reading. And I saw Karanka, actually, people said to him, well, why weren't you, you know, out on the touchline a lot? And he said, my players just couldn't be motivated that day. And I just think he understands at the end of the season here, Borough's players who've had a weird season, it's been a very odd season for Middlesbrough and Middlesbrough's fans, I just kind of think their heads aren't there, which in some ways is understandable. In other ways, you know, it's their job, but I wouldn't lay any criticism at their feet for that, because it's the end of the season and there's nothing left to do. Every time the playoffs have been mentioned, Middlesbrough have blown it again and again and again. And then you get Barnsley with good away form, you know, fighting for their lives, knowing that a win would certainly put them back amongst it, albeit, you know, it's the last chance saloon for them. And I just think that desperation, that last chance saloon nature that Barnsley will have to employ here makes them again a very, very good bet. And again, draw no bet, 13-8. A really good way in. I know that Barnsley barely draw away from home. I think it's only, I think it's 5 draws in 2014 away from home for Barnsley in all competitions. I know that's not huge, but at the same time, I still think it's eminently backable. But I also think that Barnsley might get over the line here. Like I say, Borough's players, it just seems like they are the ultimate beach bums right now, if you're looking at it. And therefore, the draw no bet is probably the best way in, 13-8, if you fancy that.
Okay, and moving on to the final game we're going to look at in the Championship. This is Doncaster Rovers against Reading. Doncaster, a win would almost secure their safety, but they have been out of form. They're 5 without a win now in the league. Reading 6th place, they need a win to stay in the playoff places. So another one that could have repercussions at both the playoff end of the table and the relegation zone. Doncaster 23-10, the draw 12-5, and Reading 23-20. How do you see this one, Pete?
Well, first and foremost, this is a bit of a... I know that Doncaster, like you say, are maybe just about safe with 44 points, but they will certainly look at this, I'm sure, and identify it as a match that would absolutely solidify them as a Championship club, which, at the end of the day, is maybe what they would have wanted this season. Last three home games, they've seen back-to-back losses, haven't they? Reading, though, themselves, lost 3-0 away at Bournemouth, 3-0 away at Wigan, but teams who are eminently better than Donny. Now, Donny had a huge sort of boost, or a bit of good news this week, in that Mai Tai's red card against Millwall has been rescinded, and I think that was the right decision as well, because I don't think that Stefan Mayhoff, I didn't think it was a red card, and I think it was a very correct decision. Of course, Lucas Neal's extended his loan, he'll be there till the very end of the season, so a bit of experience to get them through a very difficult period, Doncaster Rovers here. But just looking at the game, Reading have got no choice. They've got to win. Brighton are behind them. Forest are behind them. Ipswich are behind them. Blackburn are back. There's so many teams who are behind them, albeit with a better goal difference than a few of them, you'd imagine Reading would get ahead of them. But Brighton, and certainly Forest, I suppose, as well, are the two teams breathing down the necks, albeit, I think, actually, hang on, Forest's goal difference is only slightly better than Ipswich. We'll include Ipswich as well. My point is that Reading aren't safe. And despite that win over Borough, they know for a fact they can't rely on their home form particularly. And the last game of the season is at home against Burnley. So they've got to really win this game. This is absolutely vital because the Burnley game is not a guaranteed 3 points. It is just not. Even though Burnley are up, it's not a guaranteed 3 points. Nigel Atkins has got to throw everything at this match. And I've got to say, I think they just about do it. 23-20 Reading. It was a very, very interesting bit of value indeed for me. And I just feel that it was the way forward when you're looking at this market. Another one worth looking at, by the way, is Joby Mackenough, 5-1 any time. Got a brace away at Birmingham, didn't he, the other week? And I'm always very impressed by him. I do like Joby Mackenough a great deal. Remember him years and years ago when he first started at Palace. And for those who play Football Manager, he was one of those ones you tried to get hold of because he was somebody who was always worth it. I know that brace is the only goals he's got this season so far, but I felt 5-1. I just had a little bit of a gut feeling. Why would you jump onto that? I don't know. But I think at 5-1, it was quite an interesting little feeling for me. But I do really like the look of Reading at 23-20.
Okay, Reading then the selection in that game. Right, as always, Pete, we'll move on from the Championship and we'll move on to League 1 and League 2. And can we have your best bets starting with League 1?
Yeah, League 1 for me. I looked at the Port Vale Sheffield United game after the comments that I mentioned a little while ago, regarding what Nigel Clough was saying. 11-5 looks pretty good for Port Vale, but despite getting over what happened off the field in training and looking like they've got over it pretty well, I still don't want to jump on that. But what I do like is 5-6 on Peterborough against Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury are sadly, for their fans, seemingly all but gone now, and they're in real trouble, and it's everything but maths really that's sent them down. One win in five is not great, and Peterborough, they know one more win sees them over the line, gets them away from Swindon Town. They're done. They've won 3 of the last 5, and I felt 5-6 was a good price.
Okay, and moving on to League 2 then, Pete, what's your best bet there?
Well, I'll tell you what, there was some great value in League 2 this weekend. I'm talking absolutely bonds of value in quite a few games. Plymouth against the Hartlepool side, who are plummeting at 10-11. Oxford at even money. They look very interesting. Fleetwood Southend, and that's where I went. But I haven't gone for anything other than goals in this match, because over 2.5 is odds against. It's 21-20. Now, if you look at the way these two are currently sitting in the league, Southend, all bar the shouting, because of their goal difference, are in the playoffs. It's 68-62 in terms of 6th to 8th. and their goal difference is huge. So they are basically in there. But they can't 100% relax, I suppose, and Phil Brown will want one more set of results. Fleetwood, they're still desperately trying to catch Chesterfield, still desperately trying to catch Rochdale. They're trying desperately to go up here, Fleetwood. But for me, that means one thing, and that's intent. They will throw everything at the game. I think the top three stays as is, but they will throw everything at the game. And for me, you're getting two teams who are throwing everything at their matches here. You've also got a Fleetwood side who've got three in the last five games at home of overs. And you've got a Southend side who, if you're looking at the last, nine away from home, you've got all but three. So you've got six of the last nine at home have got overs in them as well. Over 2.5 was odds against, and that for me just seemed fantastic.
Okay, good stuff. On to the both teams to score double then next, and I'm going to put up Derby against Watford at 4-7 and Nottingham Forest away at Bournemouth at 13-20. Just talking through the form there, it's landed in three of the last five Derby matches and in seven of the last eight Watford matches. And if you look at the Bournemouth Forest match, it's landed in the last seven Bournemouth games, all seven Bournemouth games, and landed in four of the six Forest games. 1.59-1 for that. And then on to the naps. What's your nap this week, Pete?
Despite the fact that I've just, you know, put out so many, I think are very good championship bets, I couldn't stop thinking about the odds against in the Fleetwood Southend game at 21-20, and a winning bet is a winning bet no matter the market. And I looked at it and just thought it was absolutely resplendent, that bet, because like I say, you've got two teams who are going to go for it. Southend, while theoretically safe, aren't entirely safe in the playoffs. They'll also want a decent draw if they can get one. And also at the same time, Fleetwood, they've got to go for it. They've got to throw everything at it, as well as relatively decent form and stats in my favour over the recent 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games that these two have played home and away respectively. Over 2.5 in the Fleetwood Southend game at 21-20 is brilliant.
Okay, good stuff. That's the nap selection of Pete Farries. Then Lee is, as we know, on holiday, and he hasn't sent me a nap, so I've picked one for him, but he is plus £62.10 for the season, so I can't do too much damage. I'm going to put up Wigan win and under 2.5 goals. I quite like the look of that at 5-2, because it's landed in the last four of the last five Wigan matches under 2.5 goals, and six of the last eight Blackpool matches as well. I think Wigan will win as well, and under 2.5 goals with a Wigan win is a not bad price at 5-2.
Good stuff, I like that.
Yeah. All right then. Thank you very much, Pete. It's been a pleasure to speak to you once again. Another exciting week in the Football League. Good luck with your selections and enjoy the action.
Yeah, cheers, Mike. Thanks, everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.